Hi, everybody. We are moving on now. We are in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 23. And today is the 24th of July, 2011. In the last adventure, we reviewed the names of the members of the fifth creative hierarchy, and I'll simply name them. You know, and you can study number 22 for what I have said about them. They are the builders of the body of the ego, the producers of individualization, producers of realized consciousness, the Agnishvatas, the great devas of mind, the self-consciousness or conscious principles, the builders of the egoic body, the planetary spirits, the Asuras, which are really like Suryas or Suras, the solar angels, solar Pitris, fire Dhyanis, Manasa Devas, sons of wisdom, the vehicles of the divine mind, the Dhyan Chohanic forces, the aggregate of the Ahi, solar lords, the fivefold links, the benign uniters, the producers of at-one-ment, esoterically, they are the saviors of the race, the hearts of fiery love, Prometheus, and from one perspective, also Lucifer. There are other names, and probably as we go along, we will find a way to discuss those names, mention them. Now, we are at the point where we can actually get into what DK says about hierarchy number 5. We will find some of these names mentioned there. It is a very mysterious creative hierarchy. We have been assured that we will not be able to solve the mystery of this hierarchy. He says it's far too complicated for us, but we can learn more and more about it, and from the practical perspective, we can learn to render the solar angel the sole luminary in the microcosmic sky. This is what we want to learn to do. Rule number 5, let the applicant see to it that the solar angel dims the light of the lunar angels, remaining the sole luminary in the microcosmic sky. Our microcosmic sky or consciousness is filled with many lunar luminaries, and they distract our attention from the main point of our spiritual quest, which is the perception of the unity and living within that perceived unity. Okay, hierarchy number 5. Okay. And here we are. Oh, I've already included these. All right, very good. The fifth creative hierarchy is, as we know, from study of the secret doctrine, a most mysterious one. If you really think about one of the major points of the secret doctrine, it is to bring to the attention of the reader the existence of this hierarchy, and thus change completely the perception of how religion is to be approached. We are to work out our own salvation. Of course, faith is deeply necessary, as is reason. Our works do count, and the way we do this is by coming into increasingly more intimate contact with the divine intermediary, which is the supervising solar angel. We do not need any more priests, ministers, pastors, specifically to achieve salvation. We need them if they are fine people and they are teachers and individuals whose presence helps us come closer to the divine, but we don't need them in any rigorous sense to approach God. God is within us, imminent, and we can make our own divine approach. As a matter of fact, we are all emanations of the one universal logos. Okay. The fifth creative hierarchy is, as we know from the study of the secret doctrine, a most mysterious one. This mystery is incident upon the relation of the fifth creative hierarchy to the five liberated groups. It's an amazing statement, and as we discussed in the last webinar, they somehow represent, the fifth creative hierarchy somehow represents the five liberated, one almost liberated group, and carries the energies of Pisces, Aries, Taurus, and Cancer, and carries also the energies of, as it is described here, intelligent substance through Pisces, unity through effort, Aries, light through knowledge, Taurus, desire for duality, Gemini, and mass life, Cancer. Really, almost anything that occurs on the cosmic physical plane can, from one perspective, be considered mass life, from the cosmic perspective. Okay. This relation in connection with our particular planet, which is not a sacred planet, can be somewhat understood if the history of the Buddha and his work is contemplated. This is hinted at in the third volume of the Secret Doctrine. In the Buddha, the seeds of the previous solar system ripened. He was certainly a moonchain initiate, and the question arises whether he monadically was a product of the first solar system, first major solar system coming into this solar system and achieving the ripening of the seeds of the previous solar system, meaning that in him was the consummation of all that was promised under the great ray of creative intelligence, which I do believe is his monadic ray, as the Lord of Light and the Lord of Wisdom. Let's see, a little further here. Yes, the five liberated groups on the cosmic astral plane, or almost so, are represented by the fifth creative hierarchy, fifth manifest creative hierarchy, and in many ways, the harvest of the previous solar system, that harvest as it should be, is conveyed to us via the agency of this fifth creative hierarchy. In other words, a very highly developed manas is brought to us, as well as the fusion of manas and buddhi, which the solar angels have achieved. The relationship of the fifth hierarchy to a certain constellation also has a bearing upon this mystery. Now, constellation. Well, Sirius is sometimes considered a constellation, and certainly there is a relationship between the members, the higher members of the fifth creative hierarchy, and the system of Sirius, maybe the constellation of Sirius, as it has a Sirius B and it also has a hidden Sirius C, possibly therefore considered a constellation, and also the Sirian constellation may be our very own seven solar systems, of which ours is one. Also, we have the constellation Gemini, which is very important, which was instrumental in bringing the angels to our planet, and thus the influence of the five higher creative hierarchies, which the solar angels represent, and also Libra, another air sign Zodiacal constellation, which is connected with the secret of the dragon. DK has talked about some of these constellations. Initially, he's hinted at their presence in the earlier books, and remember, we are dealing with a section of the astrology book which is really an excision from the cosmic fire book. So sometimes later he fills in the name of the constellation at which he hinted. Gemini is important here. So the relation of the fifth hierarchy to a certain constellation has also a bearing upon this mystery. Remember as well, it is a hierarchy ruled by Capricorn. And very interestingly, Venus, which is the planet of the solar angels, has its highest expression in the sign Capricorn. The solar angels are certainly meant to lift man up to his transfigured state, and Venus in Capricorn represents transfiguration. And there is still one higher expression of Venus, perhaps in Pisces, the sign of its exaltation, which is the absolute consummation of its work. This is hidden, this mystery, this constellation. Knowledge of these things is hidden in the karma of the solar logos and concerns his relationship to another solar logos and the interplay of force between them in a great Mahakalpa. Is it this one? Is it a previous one? Now here I think for sure another solar logos, we have to think of the star Sirius, because the serpent religion and those who follow the higher serpents is all emanating from Sirius, as well as from the great Draco, that immense constellation in the northern skies. So this mystery is hidden in the karma of our solar logos. In case we think, well, that we shall be finished with karma, this is an impossibility, a little bit ludicrous actually, because even the great beings are under the law of karma. Not only planetary logoi, solar logoi, but logoi beyond them as well. So karma is simply the law of action and reaction. We do something, and the effect of that doing remains until another action is taken. So the products of our creations are always before us. In the old homely saying, they say, you make your bed and you lie in it. Well, with every act of creation, we are making the bed, and it doesn't change until we remake it. Okay, this is the true secret of the dragon. And it was the dragon influence, or the serpent energy, which caused the influx of monastic or mind energy into the solar system. Now, we seem to have a link here between Draco, Sirius, and the entry of monastic energy into our solar system. Draco is, of course, the great serpent, and it has a tremendous kind of power, perhaps even greater than some of the Pleiades, at least according to certain citations. Sirius sent the solar angels, which are as serpents, and Sirius is the source which is responsible for the entrance of Manas into our solar system, just as the Pleiades are the bestowers of Manas, or instrumental in that bestowal to the heavenly men. entangled closely with the karma of these two cosmic entities, and by that I think we mean that both our solar logos and the Sirian logos are cosmic, was that of the lesser cosmic entity who is the life of our planet, the planetary logos. So we are learning that planetary logos is a cosmic entity that is not just systemic, but cosmic. Okay. It was this triple karma which brought in the serpent religion and the serpents or dragons of wisdom. These are initiates. Dragons of wisdom are the planetary logoi, and lesser dragons of wisdom are the initiates, the masters of the wisdom, in Lemurian days. Now, it looks like another name for the solar angels is dragons of wisdom. So let's just ask that. Is another name for the solar angels? Okay. The dragons of wisdom. Dragons of wisdom. Well, we know how it works. There is the greater dragon, Draco. Every planetary logos is a dragon of wisdom. Every master is a lesser dragon of wisdom. And somewhere in there may it be that the solar angels themselves are as serpents and are to be considered dragons of wisdom. It had to do with solar and planetary kundalini, or serpent fire. A hint lies in the fact that the constellation of the dragon, that's Draco, has the same relation to the one greater than our logos, and this is, I believe, the one about whom naught may be said, as the center at the base of the spine has to human beings. So we are speaking of one of the functions of the constellation Draco as being a base of the spine center to the one about whom naught may be said, just as the base of the spine center relates to the human being. It concerns stimulation and vitalization with a consequent coordination of manifesting fires. I think we're talking about the entry of Manus into our solar system and its ultimate sources. We're also talking about solar systemic kundalini. And one of the things we should note, and probably have noted in earlier webinars, is our planetary logos and his Earth are represent the base of spine center of the solar logos. So we can see how these ideas fit together. And the serpent religion is the one that teaches man how to relate to the serpent fire within him and thus achieve a great liberation through the correct raising of the kundalini. We have a Sirius, in one sense, representing the higher centers of man. Let's just say that if the sun represents the heart, then Sirius represents the upper area, and the base of the spine center has a connection with Draco. Well, this we can look at in a microcosmic sense, or we can understand it from the solar systemic perspective. Suffice it to say that much of the serpent religion is involved with both Sirius and as well with the still greater, vaster constellation Draco, which is not only the source of cosmic kundalini, but is the source of cosmic buddhi into our solar system via the Pleiades, we are told. Well, there are many mysterious things here. You know, one can ponder on this particular paragraph for years. And I think the word entangled is a very good one, because there are these multiple relationships which have to be disentangled. The dragon energy, the serpent energy, was the cause of the influx of manas, or mind energy, into the solar system. So we do know that Draco is connected with the Pleiades. Perhaps there is, in relation to this dragon energy or serpent energy, monastic energy, a connection to Sirius as well. Draco, Sirius, our solar system, and our little planet, and the solar angels involved in all of that. Obviously, there is a great redemptive relationship here because it is teaching the immersed spirits how to rise out of the dense physical body of the solar logos. A clue to the mystery lies also in the relation of this fifth group to the two contracting poles. So the distance between the poles of spirit and matter is gradually shortening, gradually contracting. The poles are coming closer, as it were, interpenetrating spirit and matter, interpenetrating via the agency of this fifth group of solar angels, the divine intermediaries who have taken it upon themselves to bring together the spirit and matter aspect of whatever of the entity in which they are operative, whether it's the planetary logos of the Earth or other planetary logoi where these solar angels also have a definite function at a certain point in planetary development. And here are some of the names we discussed last time. They are the fivefold links, the benign uniters, and the producers of atonement, at-one-ment. This we discussed in the previous webinar. Esoterically, they are the saviors of the race. Well, a reflection of them, known as the guardian angel, may act at times as an exoteric savior, but they... these angels redeem the consciousness. They save the consciousness of the human being, and through a fiery, initiatory burning process, they extract that consciousness from preoccupation with the dense physical vehicle of the solar logos. And this, we see, is what the Buddha was doing as well. He was teaching people how to master the outgoingness of desire and to redirect that desire towards higher objectives which lay beyond the ordinary physical, astral, and mental realms. So they save, these beings save the consciousness of the race. And it's very interesting that although the Buddha did not speak of soul in any individual sense for a man, the work which he undertook was very much like the work of the solar angels, freeing the consciousness of man from preoccupation with all that is presented to the lower consciousness from the three lower worlds. The solar angels and the Buddha both supervise over the detachment from or the disengagement of this consciousness from attachment to the lower worlds. So esoterically, they are the saviors of the race, and from them emanates that principle, which in conjunction with the highest aspect, which is the spirit, lifts the lower up into heaven. So that principle is the solar fire, which in conjunction with electric fire lifts the lower aspect up into heaven. So electric fire and solar fire together redeem the fire by friction. They redeem the personal consciousness, the consciousness immersed in the lower three worlds. So these are the saviors of the race. And oftentimes, you know, people who don't know so much about this, they still talk about a higher power, which is resident within them and to which application can be made, and to which cooperation can be offered. There's a type of resignation which must be made to the higher power. This higher power can be conceived of very much as the supervisory solar angel, who basically is guarding and supervising the human being for millions of years of progress. Well, the time scale, as it appears to a human being, is very different than as it appears to a liberated being. A liberated being knows that time is an illusion, that forever always has been, that the greatest definable span of time, even if it is a span of trillions of universes, is as an infinitesimal when compared to timelessness. So patience comes with these realizations that duration has been, is, and will be forever. Of course, we have to speak in the terms of our language, which is a very time-space language. But it takes a long time to save a race. Millions of years, our race is not yet saved, and already 21 million years has elapsed since the process of individualization began on our fourth chain, fourth round, fourth globe. But to the consciousness of these great beings, even such a span as 21 million years is as nothing. No concrete, definite span of time can measure itself against eternal duration. So they have the patience of their realization. And we, too, as our consciousness increases, and as we defeat the tyranny of the time sense, will be imbued with that kind of cosmically inspired patience. Anyway, together with the spirit of man, and in conjunction with the spirit of man, the lower aspect is lifted up into heaven. When these mysteries are carefully studied and due application made to the lives of the greatest exponents of the at-oneing principle, such as the Christ and the Buddha and certain great teachers who brought forward the concept of the unity, it will become apparent how great and all-important is their place in the scheme. Solar angels sound like the heroes of our planetary scheme, bringing about, facilitating the union of the spirit and matter aspect of our planetary logos. Well, I think if the solar logos has a great solar angel, of which our own individual solar angels are a small part, then why should this not be the case for the planetary logos? That on the higher, on the mental plane, cosmic mental plane, third subplane, where our planetary logos has his causal body, why should his egoic lotus not be analogously created by a solar angel of great scope? So religion will be much improved with the knowledge of the existence of these divine uniters, these benign uniters, these fivefold links. We will have an entirely different view of the relationship between the personal aspect that we often call man and the divine aspect that we often call God, and we need to realize the function of the divine intermediaries in relating monad and personality, or God and man. That will change the face of religion, and it will become altogether more occultly scientific, more rational, and more responsive to the intuition or pure reason. It is for this reason that the units of the fifth hierarchy are called the hearts of fiery love. They save through love. They are the saviors of the race. That's why we see something about their function when we realize that the planet Venus is exalted in the saving sign Pisces. One of the highest functions of the solar angels, which are responsive to the planet Venus, is to save. And so there's a kind of triangle between Pisces, Venus, and the solar angels. Let's put that in. Note, triangle between Pisces, Venus, and the solar angels. And in their turn, these lives are peculiarly close to the great heart of love of the solar logos. Now, by that we probably mean the heart of sun, the heart of the sun. But sometimes Venus has been, sometimes Venus has been associated with the heart of the solar logos. There's a special consideration around that, because Jupiter is, I'd say, a better candidate for the heart center of the solar logos, but I think in time Venus will be the representative of the heart center of the solar logos. Anyway, from the heart of the sun, these solar angels come forth, and thus they are close to the great subjective sun, the heart of love of the solar logos, the so-called sun aspect, S-O-N, of the solar logos. These great redeeming angels, who are the sun of men on their own true plane, the mental, are ever, therefore, pictured as taking the form of 12 petaled lotuses. Well, this is the question. Is the vehicle of the solar angel a 12-petaled lotus, or has that part of the solar angel which has been invested in the higher mental plane and builds the egoic lotus of man, is that the part that takes the form of the 12-petaled lotus? See, what is the true plane of the solar angels? To be on the mental plane is a sacrifice. Perhaps their truer plane is the Buddhic plane or beyond. These great redeeming angels, who are the sons of men on their own true plane, because their presence is what makes a man on the higher mental plane. They create the vehicle of a man on the higher mental plane, and that vehicle is the 12-petaled egoic lotus. They are ever pictured as taking the form of 12-petaled lotuses. What I'm saying is that there may be higher vehicles for the solar angel than the 12-petaled lotus on the higher mental plane, which it constructs for the benefit of the human being which it is supervising. In other words, that this 12-petaled lotus is not its only vehicle, nor necessarily its highest vehicle. Because we realize that the solar angel probably has its monad on the cosmic astral plane, and a number of higher vehicles will therefore be necessary. So in a way, this 12-petaled lotus is, in a way, its very lowest vehicle, created by a portion of its consciousness invested upon the higher mental plane. So their picture is taking the form of 12-petaled lotuses, this symbology linking them up with the sun of divine love, the manifested solar system, which is said to be a cosmic 12-petaled lotus, and with the logoic causal lotus equally of a 12-petal nature. Now, some fantastic occultism is being given here. Is the egoic lotus of the solar logos 12-petaled or 21-petaled? 21-petaled. Because there are places, 12-petaled or 21-petaled, yes. Let me just get that straight here. 21-petaled. Because there are places where that egoic lotus is discussed as having seven tiers, probably of three petals each, and is 21-petaled, but here it's discussed as 12-petaled. So there is, the entire solar system can be seen as a 12-petaled lotus. On what planes is this vision occurring? Probably on the cosmic etheric planes, because the solar system itself does not go beyond the cosmic physical plane. So on the higher levels of the cosmic physical plane, namely the cosmic etheric, probably there is a vision of a 12-petaled lotus, which represents the divine Son of Love. And now, is this occurring on the monadic plane, where we may infer that the heart center of the etheric heart center of the solar logos may be found? I know there are some references which seem to put all the chakras of the solar logos on the fourth or Buddhic plane, but I would like to follow out the analogy of the placement of man's chakras on various ethers, assuming that this may also be the case for the solar logos. So here we have the correlation of 12-petaled lotuses, the 12-petaled egoic lotus of man, the 12-petaled, probably heart center of the solar logos found on the cosmic ethers, and the logoic causal lotus, here said to be of a 12-petaled nature and not of a 21-petaled nature. Now, that's one of the great apparent contradictions. And we have to, you know, think long and hard about whether the solar logoic egoic lotus is 21-petaled or 12-petaled. There is a reference here, and I don't know if I should go looking for that right now, you know. 21-petaled. I think, well, let's just see. 21 and petaled. Let's see if I can find that quickly. And if not, you'll just have to take my word for it. Because it does seem to it does seem to exist. Oh, I'm not sure whether we can find that at this point. Well, I'm not sure it's even worth looking for right at this moment. I'm not sure it's worth looking for right at this moment. Okay. Seems to be just a little bit of a... Okay. Little pause here. Okay. 21-petaled. Well, it does exist. 21 petals, and I should know where it is, but I'd have to stop the whole process to go looking for it. So I think I should not do that. But I couldn't do this. 21 petals. Maybe that is a possibility. Oh, yes, there we go. That was the way to find it. All right. So let's look at this. Now that I have found it, it is interesting to note that as a human solar angel is a unity manifesting through three tiers of petals, the logoic chorus, which is a very important number for Shambhala, it's the Shambhalic number. It also suggests numbers related to our solar logos with its second ray personality, second ray soul, and maybe fourth ray monad. So the two and the four are both there, though in a different order. The human solar angel is a unity manifesting through three tiers of petals. Actually, three tiers of petals, really four tiers of petals, if the synthesis petals are included. And there is a solar logoic solar angel which manifests through a 3 and a 7, which may be a 21 and a 24. And yet, we are told here that equally of a 12-petaled nature, logoic causal lotus. And yet we have been speaking of the causal lotus of a logoic solar angel as being tenfold, 21-fold, 24-fold, a different set of numbers. So we'll have to reserve concluding about that point until we know more. It can be debated, I assume. But what I did suggest, it's the only vehicle. The egoic lotus is not the only vehicle of a solar angel. It is the lowest vehicle. Just like man has a number of vehicles, man has a physical etheric body, astral mental body, these are all vehicles. The solar angel, in a way, does not go below the higher mental plane, and that is one of its vehicles. What are the other vehicles of a solar angel? I infer that they do exist. Certainly, the solar angel has a chakric nature as well, which is indicated by the fact that its heart center is connected to the brain of man. And that DK definitely discusses. We're on page 47. Wow, are we making progress here? Okay, we have therefore a direct stream of energy flowing through, and here DK is giving us one of these important tabulations of 12s. The logoic 12-petaled lotus, egoic lotus, on the cosmic mental plane. Now, remember, we have just seen that on the cosmic mental plane, there is a triple flame working through seven tiers of petals. This is something which must be reconciled. Yes, it must be reconciled. And we're not in a position to reconcile it at this time unless for some reason DK is talking about higher, still higher vehicles of the solar logoic solar angel. The solar 12-petaled lotus, which presumably is on the cosmic etheric levels. Now we're dealing with the solar logo so far. The planetary logoic heart center, also a 12-petaled lotus. And we can ask, does this occur on Buddhic levels? Because we may presume that the heart center of our planetary logos could be located on a slightly lower dimension than the heart center of the solar logos. So a solar 12-petal lotus, a planetary logoic heart, also a 12-petal lotus. And then we make a big jump to the 12-petaled human egoic lotus on the mental plane, the higher mental plane, and the 12-petaled heart center in a human being, which is located on systemic etheric levels. Now, if the heart center of a human being is located on systemic etheric levels, then perhaps the heart center of the planetary logos is located on cosmic etheric levels. And he talks here about a solar 12-petal lotus, but he doesn't say that it is a heart center, but we can infer that it is. He doesn't say that this is a... trying to keep my camera here, is a heart center, but we may infer so. Because the number 12 is somehow always connected with the heart. Now, there are different systems of counting the chakras in Tibetan and also Hindu esoteric books, but we will go with what Master DK has said in the Theosophical System, and if there are differences, we will learn about those differences as we go. So here is a tabulation of heart centers, starting all the way up here on the cosmic mental plane. Yeah. And all the way up here on the cosmic mental plane, egoic lotus, and coming down into the cosmic ethers, and finally going all the way down here until we find that area where the heart center of man is located. A great continuity of hearts. And maybe there are other heart centers involved in this as well. I mean, the various lords of chains and globes have to have their own heart centers and locations for these centers, but into all of that detail we are in no position to enter, and one day we will be. Or to word it otherwise, energy flows direct, says DK, from the solar logos via three cosmic centers. Okay, the central spiritual sun, which I assume to be the monadic nature of the solar logos. Now, there are many ways to describe the central spiritual sun. Even the center of our galaxy can, in a way, be called the central spiritual sun. Alcyone within the Pleiades can be called that, and the Pleiades as a whole can be called that. But we're talking, I think, about the monadic nature or spiritual nature of our solar logos. So the solar logos, energy flows from the solar logos via three great cosmic centers: the central spiritual sun, the heart of the sun, which we presume to be the egoic nature on the higher mental cosmic mental plane of our solar logos, and the physical sun, that is one source. And then the heart center of the planetary logos, it says here, situated on the fourth cosmic etheric plane, our Buddhic plane. Now, there we have it confirmed. What I was thinking of earlier, that this is the location for the heart center of the planetary logos, but is it the location for the heart center of the solar logos? Why not the monadic plane? Okay. So that is one of the big things to be solved, you know, whether the heart of the etheric heart center of the solar logos is found on the second ether, cosmic ether, or on the fourth. And I'm holding out for the idea that there is good reason to think of it as found on the second ether. Okay, and this flow continues, and then the egoic lotus of the human being on the mental plane, which is literally a correspondence to the heart of the sun. Okay, now, that's very important. When he talks about heart of the sun, he is referring to the egoic nature. When DK speaks of the heart of the sun, he means the egoic nature of the solar logos. Egoic nature of the solar logos. Okay. I'm trying to get my camera working. Okay. The monadic point is a reflection in the human system of the central spiritual sun, so therefore the central spiritual sun must be considered as the monadic nature of the solar logos. The central spiritual sun and monadic point. Sometimes he uses the word monad, sometimes monadic point. It gives it a greater sense of location. Okay, so this is the energy flow we've been looking at here. To word it otherwise, energy flows from the solar logos by three great cosmic centers. Okay, the monad of the solar logos called the central spiritual sun, the egoic nature of the solar logos called the heart of the sun, and his physical nature called the physical sun. And then the heart center of our planetary logos, situated on our buddhic plane, where all the ashrams are now, well, so many of them are now to be found. So in a way, we are in the midst of the heart center of our planetary logos in the particular ashrams in which we are involved or towards which we are tending. And then the flow continues to the egoic lotus of a human being, which is the lower correspondence to the egoic nature of the solar logos, the heart of the sun. And the monadic point reflects the central spiritual sun. I think we see the analogies, correct? Okay. And then, finally, the flow continues to the heart center of man on the etheric plane of the physical plane, which in its turn is a correspondence to the physical sun. So the physical sun has a correspondence to the ethers. Sun has a correspondence in the ethers, and not on the dense physical, not on the dense physical level. Dense physical level. All right. So we see these important flows through various heart centers finally ending up in the personality nature of the human being, finally. Flowing via the principle of numerical resonance from 12 to 12 to 12. Any structure in cosmos which has the same numerosity and the same structure is connected by a kind of sympathetic magic which allows direct lines of flow more easily between such structures. We've seen how there is a definite line of flow between all of these 12-fold structures. Okay. Thus, the tiny atom, man, in a way, is linked with the great central life of the solar system, this central life focusing on the cosmic mental plane as the solar logoic soul, the divine sun. Okay, let's go on here. How are we doing for time? Pretty good. This fifth hierarchy is equally, under the law, a distributor of energy to the fifth subplane of each plane in the system. Now, only it must be borne in mind that in the three worlds it is the fifth subplane counting from above downwards, whilst in the world of superhuman evolution it is the fifth counting from below upwards. So the third subplane is receiving. On the higher etheric subplanes, it is the third subplanes which are receiving energy from the fifth creative hierarchy. That's interesting, the number 3 and 5, because in a way the third creative hierarchy and the fifth are definitely interrelated. Let's go there. Yeah, right here. And we see these two hierarchies, the third and the fifth, have a close relation to each other, and they both have a Christ-like function. As we read earlier, when we reject the triple flowers, when we reject the third creative hierarchy, we precipitate ourselves into the eighth sphere and are on our way to dissolution. In the eighth sphere at Vici, and the fate of those who choose the left-hand path and persist upon it. So the fifth hierarchy is equally, under the law, a distributor of energy to the fifth subplane of each plane of the system, only it must be borne in mind that in the three worlds it is the fifth subplane counting from above downwards, whilst in the world of the superhuman evolution is the fifth counting from below upwards. Well, you know, for most human beings, the the position of the solar angel or the egoic lotus is on the fifth subplane, counting upwards, counting from below upwards. See, here we see that the solar angel is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Originally, man is found, his egoic lotus is found on the third subplane, counting from above to below, and on the fifth, counting from below to above. But maybe on the very lowest planes, there is an influence of the solar angel on the fifth from above and the third from below. On the fifth from above and the third from below, meaning that the solar angel is influencing somehow the gaseous plane on the densest physical level. So by breathing exercises, the right use of the air, the right use of the lungs, Gemini, Venus, solar angel, we can approximate, approach, contact with the solar angel. This is a very interesting, I haven't given it enough attention, I think, but I'm seeing it now as if for the first time. These are the technicalities of occultism, and you say, well, you know, why bother to learn all this? Why use the fifth ray in this way? Why gather all these little pieces of information? But one day, they all come together. And as they come together, they give a full picture of the divine pattern. And then one appreciates the archetypes which are attempting to work out and through in our lower world and restructure the lower world so that it becomes a heaven on earth instead of what it is at the moment. This hierarchy wields, as we know, the dual aspects of Manas. Mm-hmm. One in the three worlds, and one which makes itself felt in the higher sphere. So the fact, one of the great mysteries is the dual nature of this creative hierarchy. So that one aspect of it is heavenly and divine, and another aspect is symbolized by the downward pointing star, and is in a way, what we refer to as infernal. The downward pointing pentagram is a symbol of what is allegorically called the devil, and it means the sectioning off of the lower concrete mind until it becomes a sphere unto itself, considered to be a tragedy in the development of man. Well, there's so much to think about, isn't there? I think that we simply must say the great invocation together and end this particular esoteric astrology adventure. End of EAA 23, and that's 24 July 11. So let us say the great invocation, and then we will continue our study of hierarchy number 5 of the manifested hierarchies. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, we will continue with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 24, and we will continue with the discussion of the Solar Angels. We're reaching the end of that particular discussion, and we will continue as soon as may be possible. So, for the moment, farewell, and see you soon.